And we come back to the subject, of course, of Christmas, as I'll preach again next week on the same. But I want to preach about the rejoicing this morning and trust that it's a blessing to you. I want you to look, if you would, at Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story there. Luke chapter 2, we'll look at verse number 8. As you find your place there in chapter 2 of Luke, we'll turn there. And as you're finding your place, I did hear this story about this husband and wife, been married for a long time. They lived down in Florida, and they had a couple grown kids. They lived off in different places, and the dad called his daughter, and she lived up in New Jersey, and said, "Well, honey, your dad and I are getting a divorce." And she was shocked. Her jaw hit the floor almost, she thought, and he said, "Well, no, that can't. There's no way, never. We're not going to let that happen. There's no way you can do that." And dad said, "Yep, 40-some years together, we're going to want to call it quits." And said, "I want you to call your brother and tell him." He lived up in Detroit. Said, "I want you to call and tell him." And she again protested, but finally they got off the phone, and she called her brother as soon as they got off the phone. And she said, "You're never going to believe this. Dad just called me and said they're getting a divorce." And he said, "Well, there's no way that can happen." He said, "We're not going to allow that to happen. They've been together 40-some years, and no, absolutely not." And so as soon as they got off the phone, he called his dad. He said, "Dad, my sister told me what's going on." Said, "There's no way we're going to let that happen. Forget it. It's never going to happen. Not with you and Mom. You've been together too long." And he says, "Don't want you to do anything." He said, "I just want you to stay there. Don't want you to talk to anybody. Don't want you to do anything." He said, "I'll be down there." He said, "I'm flying from here, and our sister's flying from New Jersey." He said, "We'll be down there tomorrow night." He said, "Don't you talk to anybody. Don't do anything. We're not accepting this. We'll see you tomorrow." So they hung up the phone, and he turned to his wife and said, "Well, honey, the kids are coming home for Christmas just like we want it, and they're paying for their own flights this year. So Mom and Dads are pretty smart sometimes, so you've got to watch out for them." I just want to give you time. Some of you take a little longer than others. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 2, verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I want to talk about the rejoicing. Christ is celebrated today. Everybody likes to celebrate. I was thinking about this. My kids all used to love, now they're older and they don't want to do this, but they used to love to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Except for Allie, though she's home from school. She didn't like it as well because she was afraid of that mouse in the costume. He'd come around there as if he were going to attack her or something. But the rest of them liked it, the other two. And so they would go there. Come Grandparents' Day at the Christian school, my in-laws would want to do something for them. And so they'd take our three plus the other two and go to Chuck E. Cheese. So you got overpriced pizza, and then you got all these games. Did you win cheap prizes that you could have got easily online for a much more economical price? But you add all that together and you got Chuck E. Cheese, and everybody's excited. All of them rejoice, and everybody wants to rejoice. Everybody wants to have fun. And so as you do that, you think about what makes a kid happy. Well, they rejoice about that. All of us have different things that make us rejoice. Some rejoice over getting to go out and be around the crowd and get to have fun with everybody. Other people, they start rejoicing as soon as they leave the crowd and go get to be by themselves. All of us have differences in what we consider fun, but everybody likes to rejoice. And I think about that rejoicing, but there's no rejoicing like the rejoicing that we get to see firsthand in Scripture here, as we get to see it unfold on this page, as we get to see the rejoicing because the angels came and said that they were giving them good tidings of great joy. But I want to work our way through this passage that I just read, and I want you to look down to verse number 8, 9, and 10. I want you to see that the common man received this message. Verse 8 says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night." If you've watched an old Western, most of you have, and you've probably seen what people thought about the shepherds in the day that this was written or given to people. In the old westerns, oftentimes there'll be a group of people, and as those group of people come into town, they're some band of desperados, and they're coming in, and as soon as they come in, families start pulling all their kids in, don't be out there, and if something goes wrong, if something gets broken or stolen, then it was always those desperados, it was that group of folk cowboys that came in, they always got looked at upon with disdain. Well, that's the exact same way shepherds were. Shepherds were people of the earth. The song, one of them that we sang, even talked about them being in their fields and being of the earth. Well, they were earth-dwelling people, but more than that, people just looked down on them. So much so that if something came up missing, as they would rove around and they would use the pasture, and then they would go from area to area. And when they were in your area, if something came up missing, stolen, then typically people would say it's those shepherds. They were always looked down upon with disdain. And so we see, though, here, these common people of the day, they were the ones that received the message. I read this week of a monarch that in the early 1700s, late 1600s, early 1700s, he wanted to know how people lived. So he dressed in commoner's clothes, and he traveled throughout the little bit of kingdom to the west of him, so that he could truly find out what subjects lived like. Well, in that same way, if you look forward to, or look back actually, but look to the cross of Christ, and before the cross of Christ, there was a babe in the manger, as was sung about beautifully today. And we see that deity, God himself, robed himself in human flesh, and he came to find out, the Bible says, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so none of us can say, well, God doesn't know what I'm going through. God knew everything before Jesus came to the earth, but God the Son, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. But now, as he took on human flesh, we see that now the common man, you and I, and the people all around us can understand that God knows what we are going through. Christ came in a humble manger. But I see not only that those common people, those people, yes, they received that message. But I see also in verse number 11, if you look, you'd see the Savior is literally announced in this verse. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And I want you to think about this and notice this personal tone, you. God could have just said, unto the world, there's this Savior, but he said, the angel said, unto you is born this day a Savior. This message was to those lowly shepherds, those ones that weren't looked upon highly by everybody's estimation. This was given to them. Now, don't worry, the ones that rank higher on the social standing, they get an invitation as well over in Matthew. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there came wise men from the east, and we understand that that message that was given to the shepherds that day, who were low on the social standing of the status, but it also went to the ups. It went to those that are higher, and I'm thankful today that at our church, right here where we sit, we have a place that everybody is welcome, and if anybody ever feels like they're not welcome, because once in a while you get a little bit of a hint that somebody feels that way, I try to assure them that they are. You people don't have to worry about their attire, whether you are those that you're the most poor dressed or you're the most uppity dressed. All are welcome, whether you wear one of these ties as a man or whether you don't, whether you wear a nice looking dress or nothing, something that's not so nice looking. My friend, everybody in this room, you may or may not worry about that, but I can tell you that we are not concerned about it. And let me explain to you why. Because we didn't come to worship you. So what you wear doesn't really have much bearing on what we think. And I'd love for our whole church to understand that, because we didn't come to worship each other. I don't want anybody to look down on somebody because of what they, a rough thing they have on, but I also don't want anybody to look down and say, well, they dress up just to look good. I'm saying this morning that the Savior is announced to those people. He's announced to those shepherds, but he's also going to be announced to those wise men, the people who were the elite in the society in a foreign country. I'm saying the Savior is announced, and we understand that we bow down before him, not each other. There was a stranger making his way up the Alps. He had tour guides, and they were professionals, and one was in front and one behind. And they were getting him up to this one spot where the view was just breathtaking, but the wind was very ferocious. And so after hours of climbing, they finally reached that one spot. And so the guy that was in front stepped aside, and he told the stranger, the stranger to the area, but the person they were employed by, they said, okay, this is the view that you've been looking for. He was so excited that he stood up to see the view. And as soon as he started to stand up, the guy that was there reached up and pulled him back down. And he said, on your knees, sir. On your knees, he said, you're never safe here with this wind except on your knees. And I thought how well that fits when we really do get to a spot where we realize who came to Bethlehem and who the Lord is. We never are fit to think about him unless we're on our knees. Not always literally, of course, but figuratively, we are on our knees. We are worshiping him. And it's time that our churches start remembering who we're worshiping. We're not worshiping each other. We're not worshiping the pastor. We're not worshiping our social standing or how we've come dressed or how we've come equipped. But instead, we are worshiping him. And as a group, may we understand that he is the only one worthy of any kind of worship. As we continue on, I think about this. We see that the Savior is announced there in verse number 11. But in verse 13 and 14, it's not only one angel, but there's the angelic praise of the host. Verse 13 says this, and suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Now, it's not just lowly shepherds that are told about it. It's not just those wise men from the east that are told about it. It's not just that one angel, but the angelic host gets to join in to praise the Lord for what he's done. You remember in Luke chapter 19, when some of the Pharisees, some folks in the area around Christ, they were putting Jesus down because his disciples were giving him some glory. And Jesus says, if these don't praise me, then these rocks here, they'll cry out. You understand that the glory, or the creation rather, is made to glorify God. When you get to see that beautiful sunset, that's to glorify God. When we get to see the stars in the sky, and even we get to see the rain and all the rest of it, it's all to teach us that we're not the superior ones on this earth. It's God. And when Jesus, what he was meaning was, if these disciples, I deserve to be praised. If they don't praise me, then I can make this creation, it shall praise me. All of us have been to plays before. And when you get to a play, there'll come one actor out from behind the curtain and another actor out. And the first actor will come and bow, then the next one, and the next one, and then they'll bring the whole cast out. And finally, when they bow individually, then they'll eventually get the whole cast out there, and they'll make a uniform bow to the audience, and the audience will clap. Well, I think about this. The angel visited Elizabeth and said, you're going to have a child, John. You and Zachariah are going to have a child, John. And then I see that the angel visited Mary and said, you're highly favored among women, and that this is the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and overshadow you. And the angel comes to visit Elizabeth, and the angel comes to visit Mary, and then to calm Joseph's nerves, an angel comes to visit him and says, don't be afraid. What's conceived of her, it's of the Holy Ghost. And so the angel is busy visiting. And now we see that the angel comes and proclaims these shepherds. But then, like that play where one actor comes and another actor comes, another actor comes, then we get into verse number 13, and suddenly there was a multitude. The whole cast is out there. Must have been a glorious sight to see the sky lit up and praising going to the Lord. And so as if all of the angelic hosts couldn't help but praise the Lord, because they getting a first front row seat, as it were, of what God was doing as God left heaven and came to this earth in the form of a little child. Suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. You say, Pastor, why are we dwelling on a story that we already know? Here's what my answer to that would be. I told you that I wanted to preach this morning on the rejoicing. And there are many Christians I'm meeting in this world that are not rejoicing. But you understand that because you're a Christian, because you know the Lord is your Savior, it's your privilege and right to get to rejoice. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't, you're right, but I don't have to. You understand these shepherds looked down upon by everybody, suspected by everyone if something went wrong. People that were not held in high esteem, the folks that lived out in the land, they were our great lesson today to say they could rejoice even though life might not have been what they wanted it to be. But back to the Christians of today, we're allowing the problems that we face to steal our joy. And so the reason I wanted to come preach to you today about the rejoicing is for all of those Christians that are not rejoicing, my friends, something is between you and God. Something is hindering your rejoicing that you are rightful heir to. And I'm asking you today to get that out. I'm asking you today to make a holy vow to the Lord. Lord, forgive me. I've been letting the problems with my relationships. I've been letting the problems with my finances. I've been letting the problems with my work. I've been letting the problems of life keep me from rejoicing. I've been letting those take all of my attention. But instead, this morning, I want, dear Lord, you to take my attention, because the shepherds, for just a little while, they were told by the angel, you can forget about this and you can forget about the other. You can leave all those things behind and you can rejoice. Rejoice, for unto you is born this day in the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so to you again today I say, unto us is born the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So are you rejoicing? Truly, are you rejoicing? I didn't come to preach today just because there had to be a sermon preached on Sunday morning. I came with the truth of the Bible to hopefully spur you on to be a rejoicer. Some of the wonderful people that are sitting right in front of me, you've lost the dearest human friend that you've ever had. You've lost that person that's dearest to you. But I also say to most of those folks in our church family that we also rejoice that we'll see them again. And no matter what the issue is, some of you sit right here today and you know you've got some sickness going on in your body. Some are dealing with cancer and all of these other things. But I'm noticing this, the cancer, the loss of loved ones, the difficulties, they're not keeping everybody from rejoicing. Some people are rejoicing right in the midst of those problems. So that teaches me that those problems won't keep you, don't have to keep you from rejoicing. Now we can let them, but they don't have to. And so this morning, I'd love for our whole crowd to walk out these doors, be rejoicing in the fact that the Savior, the Messiah, the Savior, the chosen one of God, the God's only Son, He has come. I'm going to leave you in just a moment with the words of he was a Methodist doctor and a missionary in India back in the early 40s. 1942, he published this devotional. And he said this in this devotion. Would you let me read this to you? The early Christians, this is his words here, the early Christians did not say in dismay, look what the world has come to. But they said, look what has come to the world. He went on to say, they did not merely see the ruin, but the resource for the reconstruction of that ruin. They saw not merely that sin did abound, but that grace did much more abound. And listen to this, the assurance of the birth of Christ. It gives faith and assurance that at last sin has met its match. So whatever's going on in your life, whatever problems and sin, and they're all the problems we have are results of sin, all of those we can say like that devotional writer, sin has met its match. What's going on in your life, the thing that's dragging your spirit down, that thing that's keeping you from rejoicing, I challenge you this week to live in this passage right here, where on those first days of that Christmas celebration, the angel said, unto us is born this day, unto you rather, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so today we can celebrate from the least to the greatest, from the most wealthy to the least. My friend, I want our church, and that's because that's what the Scripture teaches. I want our church to be a melting pot of people that come from the upper echelons and the lower echelons and everywhere in between, because we're not worshiping your status or my status, and we're not doing all the things that we can do to try to elevate one above another. Instead, what we are doing is worshiping Christ, the Messiah, Christ, the promised one, Christ, the one that's the Savior of the world. And my friend, if you know that Savior, you know Jesus Christ, then you have reason to rejoice. Do not, please, let the devil and the flesh and the world steal what God has given you as a rightful possession, and that is the choice and the chance to rejoice. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure that heaven is your home, you maybe don't say, Pastor, I don't know that I have the reason to rejoice you're talking about. Today, I tell you the same thing that the angel told the shepherds: unto us, unto you, there is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus didn't come to be the Savior of those shepherds only. Jesus came to be the Savior of the whole world. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, my friend, I invite you to receive Him as somebody receives a Christmas gift. We're going to get and give gifts here in just a few days. The only thing you do to receive a gift, if it's a true gift, no strings attached, you don't have to do anything for it. The only thing you do for that gift is just accept. And God says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what do you do to receive that gift or get that gift? You receive it. You receive Him for the forgiveness of your sins and for the promise of heaven. So either way, you've got reason to rejoice, my friend. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, Jesus says, call on Him. And if you're here and you're saved, I don't want to be too blunt to you, but it calls for just a little bit of it. If you've been not rejoicing as a child of God, my friend, it's time you start. Like the old preacher would say, it's time you get right with God. Because if you're right with God, then you are a rejoicing Christian. And if you've been letting all the cares of this world, I've mentioned it a time or two, but some get so frustrated about all of the hustle and bustle and commercialism of Christmas, and then all of the crowds. Amy was going through one of the parking lots yesterday. She had to go somewhere, and she said, I couldn't get down this one aisle because somebody was watching for somebody to back out. And then you know how you do. You go to Walmart and you see somebody walking toward their car. What do? You slow down. You stalk them. You drive right behind them. If it was anywhere else, they would think, man, that's weirder. I'm going to call 911. But they understand. You're just stalking. You're driving. You're driving real slow so you can hopefully let them get down there. And then I've never seen people put that reverse light on for so long. They shift that thing in reverse with their brake light on, but that reverse light's on for 10 minutes, seems like. And what are they doing? They're making you sweat it. They like the power of being in that spot, and you're not in that spot. And then what do you do eventually? Get on out of there. Move it. And sometimes we let all of the congestion and the hustle and bustle get us frustrated so you don't celebrate the most important event, the most important birth ever that deity entered into humanity. My friend, you and I, we can, if we want to be, we can rejoice even over that hustle and bustle. We may not. We may get right down in there and be grumbling all about the crowds and about the shelves not being stocked and somebody got it before I did. Or we can bring it all back and say we can rejoice because unto us is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You've got that opportunity. And again, I tell you before we leave that I wanted to preach this morning this, because I am meeting many, many Christians as I'm out and about in town and different places. And you talk to them, they're saved, but they're not rejoicing. My friend, when you got saved, you got the right and the privilege to rejoice because your sins are forgiven. Your home is heaven. That babe that was born in Bethlehem didn't stay a babe, was born and grew rather after he was born and went to the cross died, was buried, rose again in victory for you. And you've taken advantage of that. You and I, we can rejoice. We may not. We may get grumbly and discuss and cuss and get mad about all these things. But if we do, we're passing up on our spiritual birthright, because we can rejoice as those angels did, as those shepherds did. And I trust that this season you will be rejoicing. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I ask you to help us be a grateful, rejoicing people right here in this room. Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us find that reason to rejoice. And Lord, we don't have to look very hard, because unto us is born this day, that day, in the city of David, a Savior. The Scripture is very clear that he would save his people from their sins. And Lord, I pray that we would be a rejoicing group of people. And if there's one or several that in this room that aren't sure they're saved, they know about Christ, they know about Christmas, but they don't know that they know him. And I pray, dear Lord, today would be the day that they would receive him as somebody receives a Christmas present. They would receive him as their Savior for the forgiveness of sin, so they go to heaven and live with you forever. Please bless us now is our prayer, and we'll certainly thank you for it. If you're able to, as the ladies play, would you stand together with us? As you hear them play, and if you're able, stand together. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, maybe you've been that Christian that I'm not rejoicing. My friend, this is the time that you need to ask forgiveness for God, from God, and say, I'm going to be a rejoicer. Christ is announced. Your sins met a match that they were no match for. If you're here today and you need to get those things right with the Lord, I challenge you to. You can do it there in your seat. You can come up here and pray, whichever you want. But let's not walk out of this room a grumbling, unkind, cussing, discussing, aggravated person. Let's walk out of here a rejoicing somebody. And if you're here this morning or listening by radio and you're not sure that you're saved, not sure Jesus is your Savior, I challenge you, my friend, to look to Christ in faith, believing that he was not only that babe in the manger, but he is that Messiah that went to the cross, the Holy God buried and rose again for you and me. You need to receive him as your Savior. As they just play one more verse, I want everybody to have time to make a commitment to the Lord back there where you're standing. Lord, I want to be a rejoicer. I want to be one that praises you about the things that are going on. Yes, the devil, the world, the flesh is trying to destroy your joy and your rejoicing, but by faith you can do it. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, what a joy to be in church. And we don't have very many Sundays to tell you, but Merry Christmas. And I invite everybody back this evening. It'll be a wonderful time to see these children in this pageant. It'll be a traditional Christmas pageant. I believe your heart will be blessed and we'll have a good time together. And Lord willing, we'll be out here for Christmas in the courtyard. But we are excited about all that God has done and gives us the opportunity today. I do challenge also each of you to find somebody this week that you might invite to the Christmas Eve service. It's not this Tuesday, of course. We're just a week and a couple days away. But ask God to give you somebody that you could come to a traditional candlelight Christmas Eve service. It's the easiest thing that you can invite somebody to. And I'm just asking you to pray. Say, Lord, put somebody on my heart that I can invite to that. And I know that you would be blessed to have them, and they would be blessed to be here as well. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being in church this morning. You're dismissed.